Welcome to the Property Management Mastermind Show with your host, Brad Larson. Brad owns one of the fastest growing property management companies in San Antonio, Texas. This podcast is for property managers by property managers. You'll hear from industry leading professionals on best practices, new ideas, success stories, and lessons learned. This is your opportunity to learn about the latest industry buzz surrounding property management, as well as tips and strategies to improve your business. Now here's your host, Brad Larson.
To see a complete list of the offered discounts for products and services, visit my website at propertymanagementmastermind.com. These offers include discounts from the PM Growth Summit, website production through Property Manager's website, discounts on showing services from Tenant Turner, and many more coming all the time. Be sure to use the discount code Brad, B-R-A-D. Check it out. Hello, everyone. In today's episode, I have Scott Brady joining me. And what we're going to be talking about are some dynamic things that Scott's doing in his marketplace in California that's kind of outside the norm. It was really interesting to hear him talk about some of these things because it's not the generic thinking of property management, which is really cool. He's doing things a little bit differently, but thinking outside the box to generate revenue streams for his business. And it all coincides together. So it's really cool to hear him describe it and bring it all together to show you how it works. And I asked him some good questions in there to drive that as well. So also I'd like to make a couple announcements. First off, on our Property Management Mastermind website and on our Property Management Productions website, we're going to have a couple new tabs. One is where we're going to be highlighting all the seminars and conferences going around. And that's going to be nationwide, international, kind of getting us as a property management community to look outside the box, looking at other conferences that we could be attending that could heighten our education, not just the normal conferences we've all kind of seen, but different ones through National Association of Realtors, through LPMA, through you're going to have different like Rich Dad, Poor Dad. You might have some Tony Robbins in there. I'm really expanding that list to give us a broad spectrum of what's out there. In addition to Scott's seminars are going to be posted there as well. So anytime he has a speaking engagement, we'll update that. Lastly, I want to talk to everybody about our new listserv. We created a Property Management Mastermind listserv, and that's on Google. It's going to be on our website. If you want to learn how to join that, you can do that. Just go to our website to visit it. But that's going to be a no holds barred, gloves coming off type of a listserv to where anything goes. You can post pretty much anything. You can talk about anything. And that's going to be a wide open discussion where there is no restrictions that we might have on other listservs. That's going to give you an alternative place to kind of get ideas, share ideas, and see what else is out there. So definitely check that out. And let's have a listen to Scott. And welcome to another edition of the Property Management Mastermind Show. In today's episode, I have Scott Brady coming to us from California. And without trying to steal a lot of his thunder, I'm just going to turn it right over to Scott and give us a quick intro of who you are, what you do.
So my name is Scott Brady, and I own Progressive Property Management. And we're a property management company in Southern California. And I have my market area is Orange County, Los Angeles, and Riverside. Been in property management for about 6 years. Been in real estate for over 20 years. And got in property management for a lot of reasons. I think many of your people who are participating in this do, is I was looking for stable income and a way to ride out any recession and not fear recessions, but actually embrace them. And so that's why I got into property management.
Yeah, one of the main reasons I'm having you on the show is you've got some dynamic ideas. And a lot of people want to hear about that. So you recently spoke at the NARPM Orlando conference. I think you were probably bum rushed after that presentation with lots of questions and, hey, can we talk later? Can I buy you a coffee and stuff like that? So clearly it was a hit because you had some original ideas. And so part of this conversation, we want to dive into some of those to kind of get a better feel for them and see what might be out there that everybody could apply and some of the concepts that are unique to you as far as what you're doing in the Cali market.
Well, when I got into property management, I didn't know about NARPM. I certainly didn't know about your website. And so I had to do everything sort of by the school of hard knocks. And when I was talking to local property management companies, I didn't want their growth rate. 20 years, 200 doors, mom and pop, super local. I just didn't have enough years left of my life to do that. So I wanted to think a little bit bigger. So I struggled the first few years. And my pivot point was when I didn't even know that 80% of people manage their own properties. And in my market area, you're talking over a million people who self-manage. Wow. And so I had opportunities since I was new to property management that I could completely change my company. So I was only 2 or 3 years in. So that's when I changed my company so that all of our marketing, all of our operations, our entire organization of the company is to attract self-managing investment property owners or SMIPOs.
The SMIPOs.
And so I thought that was the blue ocean. I didn't want to fight for with other property management companies over big investors. I thought this was a good market. And I think California, and I've talked to you about this, we're quickly becoming a renter state. Many more rentals and owner, we're at 53% owner occupied rates now as a state, soon to dip under 50. So I try to, a few years ago, not just our marketing message, which is definitely geared towards SMIPOs, but also the infrastructure. And one of the biggest things I do that's a little different, I let realtors do property management in my company. And then I actually sell them the doors to manage. In our marketplace, realtors, we have way too many realtors chasing too few deals. In my association with 15,000, half won't do a single deal this year. So I thought I had a good distribution network there with realtors. I just had to give them the, I had to get them doors to manage. And so that became my marketing challenge. And so we use, of course, different marketing channels to accomplish that. Direct mail, we use Geek, we use Google, we use 4.5, and of course we use local landlord seminars. And that's been very successful for me, all those channels.
Yeah, we're going to touch on all that, but let's back up a little bit because this is one of those things that's like, you've heard of the concept of a points of distribution, the pod technique.
Yeah.
You've heard of licensing and you've also heard of franchising. Well, this is kind of a hybrid from all three. You're not running the risk of trying to sell some sort of franchise because that's huge. The disclosure requirements from the FCC are ginormous. I mean, literally looking at a franchise book, you know, 3 inches thick.
Yeah.
The licensing gets a little bit more complicated, but you have to provide a lot of support to justify licensing your concept, licensing your brand to another person. And then what you have is kind of like the perfect little mix. It's not necessarily a point of distribution because doing that, you're providing all the, you're carrying all the overhead, right? So what you're doing is eliminating all the overhead carry and going straight to the licensed realtors and talking turkey with them, saying, all right, you can do this, you do this, you do this, you get compensated this. So this is where we really want to dive into you as far as what those are and why this is a good thing for a licensed realtor 50 miles south of your office.
Yeah, because we have found that whether we like it or not, property management is still a hyper-local business. You can't be in Anaheim and manage a property that's an hour away in Monrovia. Just the consumer won't cotton to that. So by taking, having local realtors be the boots on the ground, if you will, but have centralized operations, we accomplish, you know, a lot basically. And of course, I also get the real estate income as well from them. And I find that there are a lot of benefits to the system. One is the higher level of customer service. These agents who are managing, my agents who manage 30, 40, or 50 doors, that's a fraction of their time during the month. They can provide a higher level of customer service. And I still do have my office, my main office, we manage about 350 doors here. And I have two property managers. And I think we do a good job, but I think these agents do a better job of providing the better customer service because they have fewer doors to manage.
Yeah, that's kind of a flip of what we do because, you know, I've had this conversation before. We run a portfolio management system and to where my portfolio managers are vested with earning 20% of the management revenue. So if I collect $100 a month per home, for example, just nice, round, easy math, they get paid 20, but they're also, their interests are also aligned with the owner. And this is where, you know, it's the in between the lines ballgame stuff that really gets people a good service is once owners, SMIPOs, you call them, some people call them FRBOs, for rent by owners, basically the reluctant landlords, the everyday people, they have, once they understand that our portfolio managers and your realtors are on the exact same page, they want the home rented, they want a good tenant, they don't want a lot of headaches with maintenance, they don't want a difficult tenant, they want the home to be clean, they want renewals. And so if that tenant leaves, they want the home to be able to turn around again. So everybody's got the same agenda. You know, one of the things that you may have that we don't have is a leasing fee. And so that leasing fee could be incentive for that agent to lease that home quickly and to potentially keep it leased. You know, on our side, for example, I'm stealing a lot of what you might want to talk about. Our side, the portfolio managers are highly compensated for renewals, more so than they would be for leasing. And so their incentive is to get a lot of renewals. We're about a 65% renewal rate, and they win with a renewal, they lose with a vacating tenant. So I can see your system doing the same thing where they win when that tenant renews. Go ahead.
Yeah, and we really want the, we tell our branch managers, agents who manage properties, is that every door they manage is a door they're going to sell down the road. So they want to show that owner that much love, not just for the renewal, just not for the leasing income, but one day they're going to sell that door. And so for the agents, if they're managing 50 properties, that's potentially 50 sales in the next 10, 20 years, whenever they decide to sell. Mm-hmm. It has a lot of benefits. It's really, it works in our area because I have a big geographic area, but I have a lot of hungry realtors. And the hardest part about it is finding the right realtors. They've got to have the people who do well in property management have a different skill set than the people that list a lot of homes.
Now, are you paying them straight commission?
On the real estate side?
On the rental side.
So on the rental side, everybody's on the same split, like as if they're a realtor. Okay. And then property management, they're on a split, of course. And I came up with a number. I wish it were a little bit lower, but when I tested it, realtors wouldn't do this unless we're paid 65%. Of the management income. So that made me be a lot leaner. I will say it also is a big barrier to entry in my marketplace because I wasn't profitable until we were at about 500 doors mm-hmm. because we're only earning 35% of the total income. And so that's, I think in the end, it turned out to be a good thing for me. But initially it was a pain point to be giving away that 60, not $20 out of 100, but giving $65 away. Mm-hmm. But that's what I found. That was a key for the realtors in order to come join the program. And I still do, like I said, the traditional one here, we are departmental more and more just because the number of doors we manage. But I like your system as well, having ownership of the door.
Yeah, they could. I mean, there's a healthy medium between the two. So the question I have for you is how much overhead and support do you have to give them to get that 35% from them?
So we other than the training and we have some, we obviously have self-support, and as it takes them about 5 or 10 doors to really figure out how to do property management and work through all the forms. But otherwise they're virtual. They're not in the office or all, we've got literally all over Southern California. So for the 35%, we're providing, of course, the appfolio, the rent in, rent out, the insurance, all what. We also have a maintenance company, but they are virtual branch managers. There's no other additional expense on my end. Mm-hmm. For every new door we bring in, my cost per door on the back end is about $10. So if we bring in a $100 door, they keep 65, they keep 35. That's generally my profit. But there was a break-even point to get there. It wasn't until I was at 500 doors that we started making that money.
Yeah. Now, what about the business development process? How are those realtors? There's two business development processes I see. One, you finding the realtors, right?
Yes.
That's step one. So, and then the other side is them finding new property management agreements to tag into. So let's talk the first part. How do you find realtors that want to work with this system?
Sure. So I do it a number of ways. One is I do seminars throughout Southern California, how to get off the real estate income roller coaster, and we sell them on stable monthly income. Actually have a website, stablemonthlyincome.com. We're now doing it more virtually. We'll send out emails to our target areas where I want to grow and I'm getting a lot of doors. And then we'll do seminars in that area as well. And we're also doing direct mails as well, directly to the real estate agents out there. So it's a lot of different things. The seminars have been most effective for me. I like speaking in public, and I can do a 3-hour seminar. I'll be doing one next month, for example, in Anaheim. And I'll have about 50 to 100 agents there. And of those agents, it will generally 20%, so 5 to 10 will say, I'm interested in your business model.
Yeah, so what makes it so attractive to them? Is it getting the opportunity to actually kind of dive into a property management company already? Is it a really lucrative sales split? I mean, what's the carrot for them?
Yeah, I definitely call it the get rich slow business to them, but I have examples for them. We have videos of agents who work for me, and the agents have been with me, say, 3 years, might be at 80 doors. And they're making now $5,000 a month, plus leasing income, plus they're selling those properties. So my agents have been doing this for 3 or 4 years, and I have agents been doing it 1 year. For most agents, I think it's they've got the time, mm-hmm. they've got the skill, and they need the money. And when I first started this, I thought realtors want to make $100,000 and $200,000. What I found was they just want to make $2,000 a month, $3,000 a month. Mm-hmm. The bar is pretty low. Once again, too many realtors, not enough transactions in Southern California. And we're looking for agents that do 1 to 3 transactions a year. So they certainly have another 30 hours a week they can do something else. And that's a pretty common realtor out here.
1 to 3 transactions a year?
That's considered a middle producer in Southern California. Average sales price is $700,000. So they're making about $15,000 per transaction, 3 sales, and make $50,000. The way our business works, it's Pareto's law. You've got 15% of the realtors doing 80% of the business, 50% doing zero business. But then there's 30% of the realtors doing 1 to 5 transactions. that's our person. They're perfect for this role.
This system allows them to at least pay their bills, you know, pay their car payment.
Correct.
And then they hit that home run with a sale and it's a winner.
That's correct.
I can see the smart ones grabbing onto this because real estate in general, and this is a property management discussion, but we're getting into real estate. Real estate in general is about meeting people. If you meet a lot of people, you're going to be successful. I mean, I started off as a realtor in 2003, and that's what I was doing, just selling homes. There's a bunch of meet the people techniques that I always tell people about, especially new agents. You got the 10-10 rule. You got, you know, go to the grocery store and hand out 10 business cards.
Sure.
All these different rules, but they come down to one thing, meeting people. Your system gives them that opportunity. There's the meet tenants, they meet owners, that the tenants have friends that want to buy or sell. The owners have friends and family that want to buy or sell. So it's like it's expanding their sphere of influence out to a certain level that they would have never gotten without it.
Yeah, we just brought a realtor on board up in Pasadena, and she knew a guy who knew a guy who knew a guy. And on her first property under management was a 26-unit building in new construction in Pasadena, where the rental income will be about $80,000 a month. So given that property management fee, she's going to be making already, after she gets at least up, $3,000 a month. And so once you have those kind of success stories, you're right. I'm going to generate doors for them. We'll talk about that they can buy and they can manage. But if they do, if they have any amount of networking ability, they can add their own doors as well. They can either buy a door or they can find a door, or they can do their own marketing and build their own. I call build, buy, or find. She found it, and that's great. And that works well for a lot of our agents.
Do you help them with some of the marketing materials, or at least some of the marketing standards that they have to put out to help build their business?
Exactly. So what we found when I first started this a few years ago, initially I was going to give them the marketing tools and they would spend their own money and they would own the door. Found out that realtors will not spend their own money at all, ever. So I pivoted and I said, tell you what, I believe in my marketing. I know it works. So I will spend the money. And then when I get that door, I will sell that door to you. They're happy to buy the door. So pretty much probably 80% of our business is generated by the central office, centralized marketing, and then we sell the door to the individual branch managers.
I like it, because then you can control the business development flow to ensure you get quality control.
Correct.
To ensure somebody's not telling whatever they want to hear to sign up, and then you have issues, because all that lingers back to the company name. And I'm sure that's stuff you want to avoid.
Yeah, that is correct. And so it works out much better for all of us, for compliance, for pricing. And people are happy to buy something they know is going to generate revenue month one. They'll even overpay for it rather than taking their own chance or own it. They don't believe yet. They haven't seen the results. Mm-hmm. And so we'll sell them the door for typically right now 3 months management income.
Okay.
And then we have an onboarding fee. And then if they ever leave the business, I have the right to buy those doors back and I pay them 6 months management fee.
Okay.
That's for their efforts they put into it. So in the end, if they ever leave, I mean, I see this, nobody's ever left yet, but if one of my branch managers were to leave, then I can either bring those doors, I can start a bricks and mortar in that area if I want to create an office there, or I can find another realtor who wants to take over that business.
Yeah. So one of the things that we put in place when we did the portfolio model was we put the portfolio managers on a very bad split. Mm-hmm. So it's 30 to them, 70 to the house, to the management company. So my point is, where I'm going with this is, are you a little nervous that these agents might be pushing those owners to sell to make that good commission?
So we send a letter out to the owners 90 days before the lease is up. We go through their sell versus lease option. We always tell them you should keep the property. I haven't found that. So far, we don't have a lot of sales right now of our properties. That might change in the future, but I haven't seen that. It's hard to convince an owner to sell if they don't want to sell. Typically, they're selling here because it's owned by mom. Mom passes away. Kids get it. They sell it because they want to divide up the proceeds. But you're not going to convince somebody who's currently got a rental property that they should sell. They're either going to do that or not on their own volition.
Now, do you have a standard agent split, or can you not share that? What do you think?
I can share, yeah. I mean, well, the real estate side, everybody's on a 90-10 split, okay. Which in California sounds really low. It's actually average here. We have a lot of reduced cost brokerages out there charging $500 a transaction. Mm-hmm. So everybody's on a 90-10 split. If you're a branch manager, you're on the 90-10 split. And so it makes it very easy. Nobody has to go to the water cooler and think they're getting a different split on the real estate side. And everybody's on a 65-35 split on the management side. So once again, nobody gets a special deal there. I priced it aggressively that way to grow. That was really the idea.
Yeah, I think that's smart, because you don't want to do the one-offs. You don't want to treat an agent any different than any other agent, because that's going to cause a lot of animosity around. So good ideas. I mean, I really like this model. How successful have you been to scale it out?
Well, once again, we pivoted about a year ago to selling the doors. So I think if you know my numbers, last year we were at 400 doors. Now we're at 600 doors today. And next year we'll be at 900 doors. So our biggest issue, the first, I didn't want to bring agents on initially until I had doors to sell them. So yeah, it's chicken and egg, right? If you bring in 10 branch managers all over Southern California, they want doors to manage. So I took the last year really refining all our marketing so that I had doors to sell them. Now I do. If we're going to add 300 doors, I could certainly add at least, I already have 10 branch managers. I could add 10 more. I could feed all those, feed all those branch managers doors. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're at now. So we're in a growth mode on the adding more branch managers because I have plenty of doors to sell them.
How many do you have currently, branch managers?
Currently we have 10, I would say six that are really top and four that just manage a few doors. Mm-hmm. But we have the biggest one manages about 90 doors. Second one manages 70 doors. Third one manages about 30 doors and they go down from there. So they're all, but they've all been in the queue only a couple of years now.
Okay. Do they have a territory?
The rule is, there's no strict territory, but they have to be within 30 minutes of the door.
Makes sense. Do you have in-house business development to where you can control that? I mean, or is it you? What I'm asking, is it you doing the biz dev or who's doing signing up the new homes?
Yeah. So I have staff here that helps me with biz dev. I've been into it the last year because I really want to be really in, find out exactly what I'm spending, exactly what the return is. We went to Geek Marketing a year ago, and I want to make sure I'm getting a good return on that investment. And then, of course, we do direct mail. So right now I have an assistant who does the, converts. Once they're interested, I've been taking the phone calls, though, I've been taking the emails, and I let her do the phone calls. The next position we're hiring is a full-time sales support business development person. Okay. That's the next hire.
Yeah. Let's dig into the direct mail, because that's pretty interesting. A devious side of me would say you could direct mail target pretty much any home that goes on the multiple listing service, any home that goes onto Zillow.com, kind of what's your target? How do you get the good list and what's your return on that? Do you have a percentage base?
Yeah, so the lists are easy in California. So title companies here will provide a list of all non-owner occupied property.
Okay.
So we have everything from all over Southern California, and then we break that up into out of state, out of area, and then in area. Roughly 10% of your, in California, 10% of the rentals are out of state, meaning the owner lives out of state now. 15% out of area, that's defined as more than a half hour away, usually out of county. And then the last group, so you have about 75% that they live in the same county the property is a rental. That's the typical one. They rent out their house and move a few blocks away. So we target first out of state, then out of area, out of county, and lastly in area. And our goal is to, I'll mail out 10,000 pieces starting in January, and we go through October. And of the 10,000, our system right now is running about 3% of those will go to the website. We're running we'll have 1,000 visits. So 10% go to the website. And of the 1,000, we expect a 3% conversion rate to doors.
Okay. Have you thought of digging one layer deeper? Because you have a list of addresses, you have a list of names.
Yep.
Have you ever thought of going private detective and trying to reach these folks either on Facebook or LinkedIn or via phone or text or an email? Have you tried to go that far?
Yeah, I had not gone that far to call them up blindly. What we find with direct mail is that they may get a piece 2 years ago in February, but they don't have a pain point, right, until 2 years later. So they have a good staying power. And yes, we could. I've encouraged my agents and branch managers to go into Craigslist or the MLS. We've tried it and has not been as effective. Because I do so much volume, the per cost piece for me runs about, 40 cents a piece to mail out. So it costs me, $4,000. And if I can generate 20 doors out of that and I sell those doors, it's zero sum marketing to me. In the end, my ultimate goal on the marketing side is I spend 15 and I sell 30 doors and I get back 15 and it costs me nothing to do the marketing.
That's pretty interesting because not a lot of people are having success with direct mail.
Yeah.
And so you've had how long? 1 year, 2 year, 3 year success so far with this?
I've been doing direct mail probably for 5 years.
Okay.
But really when I pivoted the company to go after, I call it the four pillars. So transparency, price, customer service, and value propositions, right? So when I started putting that direct mail, we started getting a better response. Mm-hmm. Because ultimately, owners stop managing their own properties because their time isn't worth it anymore. It's just taking too much time. They don't have the skill set or they're too far away. Mm-hmm. And so our marketing has really drilled that down. Also, we'll put our menu of services up. We'll put this new marketing piece. We'll talk about the renter state, the coming California renter state, put a little fear into them. I think in California in particular, there's just no shortage of business. And how do you reach people out of state? Facebook's a little tougher. They don't Facebook. You know, they're not listening to radio if they're in Utah. So direct mail is a great way to reach the people who most need property management, which is out of state, out of county.
This episode of the Property Management Mastermind Show is sponsored by Mark Cunningham of Grace Property Management. Now, Mark has created some amazing products for property management companies. We have implemented his systems and his business income streams into our business here, and I can personally recommend them. If you're in the property management business, I encourage you to visit their website, as you'll definitely find a product that will improve your business. I know Mark personally, and just a small investment to pick up one of his golden nuggets could earn you a return many times over. To learn more, go to propertymanagementsystem.org, again, propertymanagementsystem.org, and to get a 10% discount on all of Mark's products, use the promo code BRAD, B-R-A-D.
I'm going to throw you a curveball.
Sure.
So what's the coolest implementation you've done in the last 6 months to a year?
The coolest implementation on business?
Yeah, like the neatest thing you've seen since sliced bread for property managers. I mean, this is a completely off the wall, left field question. And I ask that sometimes just because I think there's also a bunch of cool things that I see out there that I thought was just awesome and I had to implement right away.
Yeah.
What have you seen in the last 6 months a year that really blew you away?
I don't know what I've seen. We tried Rently, didn't work because my branch managers don't need Rently and I'm not going to pay for those boxes sitting around. What have we implemented? Well, that's a good question. We're putting a big scheduler of TV up so everybody knows where everybody's at any one time. I don't think right now we're transitioning from, I would say, from kind of old school to new school. That's where I met you. And that we're going from, for example, portfolio departmental in my main office. But I haven't implemented anything per se. I think I told you Geek has been really working wonders for us.
Well, that's a good one. Let's talk about that because I understand what that is, but a lot of the audience may not.
Yeah.
And the only frustrating part I know about them is they have an exclusive territory that they only work with one company.
Yeah. And so Geek, I heard about Geek probably through NARPM. And they didn't have anybody in my market area because my market area is so big. And nobody wanted leads from both Roland Heights to San Clemente. It didn't make sense. So because of my business model, where I am all over Southern California, it was a good match. What was interesting about Geek, when I called them, they said, you know, you're not going to get results for about a year. You're going to spend a lot of money and you won't really get results for until about month 10, 11, 12. And I said, okay, I'll trust you guys. And sure enough, it took about 6 to 9 months. And now from Geek, we're probably getting, in an average month, we're getting 30 to 40 leads a month. And you pay with Geek, so you get exclusive area rights, and they're vetted leads, so you do get an email or a phone number and or a property address, and you pay $100 per lead. So it puts a burden on you to convert those leads. You're spending the money regardless, right? Mm-hmm. So if we get 30 leads, that's $3,000. I'm going to make sure we convert at least 20% of those leads. And that's been something we have implemented the last six to nine months.
Yeah, that's interesting. You mentioned also the Rently side. You would think, with everyone being spread out, there'd be a way that they could do these unaccompanied vacant home showings. You know, that would be one of the things we've implemented in the last 6 months is we went to Tenant Turner and we implemented this whole unaccompanied vacant home showings. And to date, you know, this last week, here we are at the end of December of 2017, we've rented out 15 homes through the unaccompanied vacant home showing system, signed lease agreements, saving us 15 leasing fees that we had to pay out. So in different markets, that means different things. You know, our leasing fee is small, but what if you're 1 month's rent leasing fee?
Yes.
Right? I mean, a lot of markets are that. So think of saving that, you know, once a quarter, four times a year. That's significant money. So that's really interesting to see that progress. And we're tracking it pretty hard.
Yeah. And Rently could work for my main office where I want the, but what we found with the branch managers who are managing anywhere from 10 to 90 doors, they don't mind showing the property, meeting the tenants. That's a higher level of service they're giving to the owners. Mm-hmm. And the owners actually appreciate that. Main office is more appealing to me, but I do have a leasing specialist here and they're on a 50-50 split. So in the end, if I lease 100 properties here in my main office and that we do charge 35% of the first month's rent as a tenant acquisition fee, we double end it 80% of the time. So we're making about $600 per lease, whatever that number is. So we'll do about $60,000 in leasing income and I split that 50-50. They're happy and it works out well for me.
Good, good, good. So let's shift gears once more. I want to hear more about your other revenue streams that you have planned. You have had some conversations before. You mentioned title. That might be more of a California thing that may not translate to a lot of the parts of the country, but let's talk a bit about the title stuff you got cooking.
Yeah. So property management for me is more or less a break even. I pour everything back into the marketing. I'm spending about 20% of gross revenue on marketing. Next year, I tend to do the same thing. So if we go from $60,000 a month to $100,000 a month, I'm just going to pour that back into marketing and sell those doors back. I have a real estate company. That's one of the benefits of this whole system. So we have about right now 40 agents that work for us. We're going to add this year about 30 agents. We'll be at 70 agents total, 10 of whom will be branch managers, 20 of whom will not. And they're all in the same split. I have a sales manager for that part of the business. Then we have an investment group here. And so what we do is we put together investment groups, syndications, if you will. We buy multi-unit properties. We manage those doors and we flip those properties. And then I have my own personal real estate business with my team. And we'll sell, you know, this year about 20 properties as a team. And then we're adding, as you mentioned, we're adding escrow. So we have a very strange system in Southern California. There are many real estate companies that break even in real estate and they make all their profit in escrow. So Southern California is probably the only area in the entire country where brokers can own their own escrow company. So if you can do, let's say 100 escrows, that's about $400,000 in revenue and the profit margin is about 35%. So my goal is to make money in real estate, make money in investment, of course, my own personal business, and then also an escrow. And property management for the next year or two might be about break even as we continue to blow it up and grow it. Yeah. One day we can obviously, I think that ultimately the profit margin on property management will be about 15%.
Yeah. And I think management is going to be the center of all that. We talked about this before. You have real estate to the left, you have syndications to the right, you have escrow going front and back. I mean, everything is going to be centered around property management. And I want you to talk more about the syndications because that's an animal that not a lot of us know about as far as any sort of syndication in the single family home space. Some of us have heard about the syndications in the multifamily. You got the Grant Cardones out there blowing it up. You know, jet setters are flying all over, super cool. Yeah. But they're doing $10 million, $20 million deals.
Yeah, no.
What about the small single family home syndications? Can you speak to some of that?
Yeah. So the biggest barrier to people want to invest in real estate in Southern California, particularly multi-unit, but they don't have the down payment. An 8-unit building here is going to be about $200,000 a door, $1.6 million. And you're going to have to put down, if it's underperforming, the rents aren't to market rent, you're going to have to put down $500,000-$600,000. People don't have that money. So we get 10 investors together and they each put in 10%, and we buy that building. For me, putting together the syndicate, I own 10%. Then we manage the doors. We obviously bring them to market and then we refinance it. They get back usually about 60% of their money on the first refi, because we paid cash for the property. We refinance again, end of 3 years. They usually get back about 80% of their money. So they have 20, they now have of the 10% they put in, they've gotten back 80% of that. And now the property's gone from 1.6 to 2 million and we can sell it or keep it at that point. I get 10% of the revenue, 10% of the proceeds. And of course we do the property management as well.
And the sale on the back end.
And also on the purchase. So on the purchase I get paid and on the sale I get paid. And right now what we're doing this year or next year is we're putting together a shadow inventory. So I'm going out to, you know that we buy ugly houses or we buy ugly apartment buildings. We call it cash for doors that I will pay you 13 times gross rent multiplier, 2 weeks, all cash escrow, and finding the sellers, if you will. The biggest problem right now in our marketplace is finding properties to buy. They're just not out there. Mm-hmm. And that's, so I have to create that inventory. I've already got the investors. I just got to find them something we can buy that makes sense for all of us.
Yeah, I love the syndications. There's a seminar coming up in March that I want to go to in Dallas. It's the Real Estate Radio Guys seminar, and it's basically all about syndications.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a couple players I've talked to that have done some of these, especially focusing on single family homes. Mm-hmm. I think it's the up and coming way. I mean, I really think you're going to see more and more of this because the barrier of entry to getting into real estate is so difficult that if you're not an insider, you are on the outside looking in, because all these gurus out there are teaching, you buy a home, you fix it up and you flip it. It's easy, right?
Yeah.
Well, good luck buying it.
Yeah.
Competing with the thousands of other investors out there that do nothing all day, but look for investments.
And good luck competing with the and our investors love it because they have no personal risk. I'm on the loan. I'm buying the property, puts in an LLC, and there's very little financial risk. The only thing, you know, I think what's going to happen is the stock market, everybody's shoving money in the stock market right now. That those salad days are going to end here. And then you're going to find real estate being a preferred investment. So we're just setting it up. You're really good at this, is that you've got to lay the foundation. When opportunity comes, you're ready to go. And so that's what we've been doing the last few months.
Yeah. It goes back to the bigger pockets idea of, you've heard of the Burr technique, the buy, the rehab, the rent, the refinance, and repeat.
That's VRRR. It. Exactly.
Then Bigger Pockets talks about that a lot. They even have a BRRRR calculator on their website. It's really neat.
And we have so many owners right now who bought their properties 20 or 30 years ago, and no offense, they're now departing this world, and the rents are below market. The properties, they've been squeezing them for every penny they can, and so they need to be rehabbed. And so the rents are below market, both out of choice and out of necessity. And now we can come in and take that property to its highest and best value. So there's going to be a lot of properties out there in the next 5 to 10 years.
Love it. So let's talk about some of the stuff you got cooking on our website. We have the Property Management Productions website, Property Management Mastermind website. You've helped us put together a product called Seminar in a Box. Yep. So I want you to kind of talk through that and how that could value somebody to help them do what you're doing.
Yeah. So what I found, I started about a year ago. I had read, I think a property management company in Australia was doing this in some beach communities. And I thought that's a pretty good idea. So what we do is you want to become the property management company before they even know they need a property management company. So we figured the best way to do that is put on local seminars. So we'll drop a direct mail piece to a local community near a branch we have. And then, and we find if we mail out 2,000, we get about a 2% response rate. So 2,000 owners, and then we'll get 40 people into a room. And we say, no cost, no obligation, 3 hours. And really, we're going to teach you how to be a better investment property owner. Because if you own an investment property business, you're in the property management business as well. Mm-hmm. So either if you own an investment property, you're a property manager. So bring them in. They're a little nervous when they get there. They think we're going to do like a timeshare and lock the door. And we don't. Make it very clear. And we have a website, locallandlordseminar.com, that, we have some videos there that kind of assuages their fears. They get there. And that's exactly what we do. We give them a test, make sure they know the laws. We have our vendors there. We have usually a mortgage person, an attorney, insurance person. Of course, I do the property management side of it. And then we have an investment side as well. So it's a way to become the trusted source of information before they even know it. So if we have 40 people show up, so far each seminar, we've gotten about 8 doors per seminar. But we've also put 37 other people in a database. And I know once they want property management, of course, they're going to call us. We just had a client come in yesterday. I did the seminar nine months ago. And he says every time a property comes up, he's giving us that door when the tenant gives him notice. And I think it's good for a lot of reasons. One, it's good for business, obviously. Two, it forces you to really state your value propositions to your clients who are right in front of you. And they have no problem asking a lot of questions. It really tests your knowledge of the industry as well. Every time we do this, they come out and they say it was like the best experience of their life. They're so happy they went and they got so much great information. The key is to give them all the information, not to hold back. Any question they've got, we answer it. We give them a book in California, the tenant rights books. We give them some material to read. So when they get out of there, if they want to continue to manage my owner, they can do so better. But when they get to the point they don't want to, of course, they're going to give us a call.
Mm-hmm. And you probably get sponsors to pay for a lot of that.
That's correct. So we have our plumber kicks in, the mortgage guy. If you don't do real estate yourself, you have a real estate agent in there who talks about buying investment properties. Of course, they'll sponsor escrow. So the total cost, if I nail out 2,000 pieces, that runs about $1,000. So the total cost with everything is maybe $1,300 for lunch included, maybe even $1,400. But your vendors will offset at least 50% of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the idea. Nothing makes you become a better teacher, a better student of what you do than having to teach it. And I totally said that wrong, but I think you get what I'm talking about. So the other part of that is the package you put together, Seminar in a Box. Yep. Tell me kind of what's included with that we're offering together.
Yeah. So we try to give you everything I've developed for these seminars. So it's the direct mail piece we find to be the most effective. Then it's the PowerPoint presentation I give that we give at the actual seminar that can be customized to their property management company with their value propositions. We have the collateral we use. So we have a quiz for the buy owners, and then we have a personality test. Then we have an ROE worksheet so they can calculate what their ROE is on their property. That's one of the big things we do there is educate them. Most buy owners believe once they own the property free and clear, they've accomplished all they can. And you want to teach them that they're getting a terrible return on their equity. They can take that single, we sold a property this year, sold a house in our local market and bought a 6-unit building with us. And on that one deal alone, I made about $60,000. And he went to the seminar and didn't know, the fact he was being taxed on this asset when this one, he'd be having a better opportunity. So we have the PowerPoint. And then I actually give them a video of me doing the 3-hour presentation. I think we did in Anaheim, so they can see what I say and how I say it, what the vendors say, and so they can emulate that in their marketplace. So it's literally everything we have. And we do these seminars now at least once every 3 months. And once you do one, you want to do them once again. It just becomes something you want to do all the time.
So what seminars do you have lined up for the California area?
And so we have all kinds of seminars. So I have both realtor seminars. I've got investment seminars. We've got these local landlord seminars. I do about a seminar almost every month, either to realtors, mm-hmm. to investment property owners, or to local landlords. I think it's just part of my business is getting my name out there. Mm-hmm. Probably the biggest thing I'm doing, you asked me what's new, California is in a pivotal year next year. And we're probably going to be the first renter state in the nation, meaning that rent control, just cause eviction is coming down the pike. And it's terrible for real estate, in my opinion, but it's incredibly good for property management. The reward is that we'll go from 80% people who manage by owner down to possibly 50% because it's so complicated dealing with the housing authority and all the laws around rent control. And if you don't know what just cause eviction is, means you can't get rid of the tenant if they pay as agreed. They can be the biggest pain in the fanny. You have to keep the tenant. Well, owners can't deal with that. So we're foreseeing a huge volume of business coming our way and all property management companies' way in the next 2 to 5 years. And so I'm positioning myself in the marketplace as the expert on the renter state. Mm-hmm. And so that, you know, because nobody's even talking about it yet, even though I know it's inevitable in our state of California that majority cities will have rent control.
Yeah. So recently what we've done is on our page, Property Management Mastermind and the Property Management Productions, we built a seminar and conferences tab. And so I'm compiling all the best seminars out there, all the best conferences that are out there from some of the coolest places to go. What I want you to do is let's work together and build a page for you. And we're going to link it back into that site so people can go in and see where you're going to speak. I think one of the things that everybody would like that's listening is to kind of hear you speak and teach this in person. To give them a better idea, give them some confidence to potentially do it themselves.
Yeah, and I love speaking. I think we as an industry, real estate's a zero-sum game. If I get more listings in my city, I'm taking it away from somebody else. If 80% of the people who manage by owner go down to 50% or whatever the number is in your state or your area, we're not taking business from each other. There's abundance of business out there to be received. And if we all go after the by owner market, however that channel might be, internet, direct mail, seminars, we all benefit. Because they just simply say, I'm not going to do property management, or who's the best company for me? Might be my company, might be the guy next to me. Nobody tries to sell their house by owner in California. They've been convinced by the real estate community it's impossible to do by yourself. So they hire a realtor. Well, nobody's telling the people who manage their investment properties by owner that this is a terrible idea. They don't know what they're doing. They're on that quiz I do, which everybody will do. They miss 80% of the answers. And these are simple, basic property management questions, right?
Oh, wow.
So, you know, what they don't know what they don't know. And that seminar teaches them they don't know anything. And if we all go out there collectively and market to the investment property owners, I think we all collectively benefit. So I love doing seminars for property management companies. I put in to do the one at the Broker Summit. And that's mm-hmm. going to be, put a dent in the real estate universe one door at a time. Really talking about the fusion of property management and real estate. Organized real estate is going to be in a bad way the next 20 years. I don't think organized real estate is going to look anything like it does now, 10 years from now. Redfin's going to do, you're going to see discount brokerages come in. But property management's in a perfect position to take advantage of all the trends, economic, financial, technological trends. And we're already here, and there are going to be people coming after us. But I think the people here now deserve to get the tools and the marketing tools to go out there and get more business.
Yeah. I'm excited to hear you speak at the Broker Owner Conference. That'll be neat because I think that's going to be well received. You got a lot of fun ideas that really get people thinking. And then that's what we're hungry for. You know, the platitudinal speeches of always try hard and do your best and all that stuff. I think that people get tired of that. They want to hear some real good, interesting ways of doing business. So how does somebody get a hold of you to potentially find out more from what you're doing on your website, or how do they even get in touch with you?
Well, they can go through your website. I think you have good contact information for me. I have no problem people emailing me. I'm on the threads. I'm on the NARPM thread. I'm on your thread now that you've created to share information. And of course, if you can provide my email address, I'm happy to have them email me and ask me any questions. I'm happy to give away everything right now to some degree. down the road, somebody wants to get into real estate or they want my direct mail pieces, I'm happy to share that at obviously a small fee. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the time is now for our industry. I don't think we're gonna have a recession, but I think in our marketplace, at least, there's a fundamental shift going on with people who've realized that it's just too difficult to manage their own properties. And they're realizing that it's not incredibly expensive. We talk about this at my seminar. When I first decided to go after the people who self-manage, I sent out surveys to them. And I said, why are you doing this? And they came back and said, well, you guys are really, really expensive. And your contracts are very complicated. And once you make it transparent, once you, on my website, which people go to, we have a comparison chart with six other property management companies, my marketplace. We have our pricing right there. They can calculate what their price is going to be for their type of property. Our contracts on our website. So people can look at the contract before they sign it. So if we as an industry, if we become more transparent, offer more value propositions, we're going to change the perception that people who have investment properties have of us, which that we're charlatans, we overcharge, terrible customer service, we don't care. And as more companies like yours and mine and people watching this get the word out effectively, I think we can transform an entire industry.
Yeah, I think we're seeing this shift a little bit going that way towards a renter state, more into the Australian, New Zealand realm, because as you know, they're flipped. Let's say we're 20, 30% penetration into the SMIPOs, the FURBOs, the self-managed individuals. Well, they're reverse of that.
Yeah.
You know, they're 80% into it, to where everybody uses a property manager. They look at you like you got something grown out of your head if you tell them you don't have a property management company.
Yeah.
That's how the culture is there versus here. It's a little bit different, but we're slowly getting into that a little bit further as the U.S. becomes more of a renter state, because they are. I mean, Australia, New Zealand is a renter state. No application fees, no tenant fees, no late fees. Evicting somebody is nearly impossible. So they have exactly where California potentially could be going already. And that's where you see the full penetration going into it, to where property managers are treated like executives. They're treated like very well-respected banking individuals that are asset managers.
Yeah.
Not kind of the dregs of real estate. They're treated as such because they are taking care of a very expensive piece of, well, let's call it an asset that people want to be taken care of. And they get paid.
And I've noticed a fundamental shift. I'm on the board of California Association of Realtors. And it used to be that, you know, property management was a redhead stepchild in the real estate company. No resources, no funding, no nothing. And what I find is that real estate companies have an incredibly difficult time getting into the property management business. They want immediate results. They want, you know, 500 doors in 5 days. They don't want to lose any money. They want to make an investment into it, because that's how real estate works. You can open a real estate office tomorrow, have 20 realtors, and you're making money month one. And I go to these conferences, and now they have envy that I have stable income, that that our growth rate's so big. You know, a number I use in Orange County, there are 300,000 rentals. And in the next 5 years, if these trends continue, there'll be 100,000 new properties that need to become under management. 100,000 properties. There aren't enough property management companies in Orange County to absorb 100,000 properties. And that's how big the growth is. And that word's getting out to real estate companies. So they're buying property management companies. But in my market area, there really isn't one big property management company. It's mom and pop, small little cities. So there's an opportunity for me with my business model to cover the entire city. And rather than adding 5 doors and having difficulty absorbing those doors, we can add 30, 40, 50 doors a month because I have a big enough distribution network to do that.
Yeah, you do.
And that's what we're doing. And I think the renter state, renter nation thing is absolutely going to happen. We're taking away the benefits, the tax benefits of buying in California. And if you take away appreciation, because I think what you'll see is property taxes are going to go up pretty soon. And then you take away the security, the lack of security for a tenant. So now a tenant can be in a rental for the rest of life if they want to. We become a renter state. And and then real estate is going to be a very small margin business. Too many realtors chasing too few, too many brokerages chasing too many realtors chasing too few deals, where property management will be, there aren't enough property management companies to absorb all the properties that need to be managed. Mm-hmm. I'd rather be on that side than the other side. I'd rather be on both sides. I think you want to be in both real estate and property management and escrow for me and investment properties. Because when we sell our company one day, if we ever sell our company, they look at all our streams of income, not just the doors we manage.
Yeah. I think it's going to increase the multiple as well down that road. But yeah, you know, for you and I, that's, you know, forever. We'll give it to our kids and let them run it.
Exactly.
So this has been a fantastic episode. I really like what we had an opportunity to talk about. Very intriguing stuff. Gets me thinking. So I really like the Seminar in a Box product that we put together. Highly recommend people go to my website. I'll put the show notes out there where they can go find it. That's basically a turnkey system for them to just buy it, put it into action, and start doing these seminars, because you spend a lot of time on it and it's value packed. So I highly encourage people to look at that. And then we're going to see you at the Broker Owner Conference speaking on stage. That's correct?
I don't know. I put my speech out there. I don't know if we're going to get it selected or not. I hope so. I'd love to. And it's 3 hours on a Saturday from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. to get in front of 40, 50, or 60 owners and to create a relationship. Too much of our owner, we don't see a lot of our owners. I don't. They're out of area. They're out of state, out of county. And to get in front of 40 people or 50 people and tell them what you do and show your passion and have your vendors up there, and they appreciate you getting up there and getting business. It is, even though I didn't get a single door out of it, I would still do these seminars purely because of, I think it makes me a better business owner or property manager. But you do get doors out of it.
I would say don't get discouraged, because it might take you 2 or 3 or 4 to ramp up to where it's really good. You really got the systems down. The Australians teach this exact same thing as well. So great stuff. I'm really happy we did this episode. And I'll put more information out there for everybody to get in touch with you. And let's hope we see you on stage here at the Broker Owner.
You got it.
All right. Thanks, Scott. Appreciate your time.
Take care.
This has been a podcast episode by PropertyManagementProductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast, leave us feedback, and come back for our next episode.